I will take on the role, Natalie McMaster, of the curious listener who hears the term Cape Breton but does not know what Cape Breton fiddle music is. And I'm sure you've answered this question innumerable times, but for those that do not know, can you just kind of give us a little bit of a background as to what the Cape Breton style actually is?
Well, it's a great question, and certainly it is a popular question. Cape Breton fiddle music comes from Scotland originally. The settlers came over from Scotland in the mid-1700s from the the Highland clearances when people were forced off their land. And, you know, they went to across the ocean with not much. And but they took their fiddles with them into a new land. They probably were not sure what was awaiting them. And so that's how the music got brought over from Scotland. And through the last, you know, couple hundred years, there's definitely been an evolution, which is natural and healthy. And so there's been a bit of the French settled there as well, the Acadian French. So there's a bit of influence there in the style. And and the Native people, First Nations people who were there, there was a number of very well-loved and respected Native people who play the Cape Breton fiddle music, and also a bit of, Irish, a bit of Irish influence as well over the last couple hundred years. There's quite a number of Irish immigrants in Cape Breton too, but mostly Scottish.
Growing up in Nova Scotia, was it the music that you heard the most? Were there other influences? I guess what was that early inspiration, the first thing that captured your young ear?
Who knows? Fiddle music for me was like having breakfast. It was every day. It was part of living. It was never seen as anything exterior, but something that was personally a part of our lives. Not only in the home I grew up in, but in the community, the extended community. And so I never, don't remember the first time I heard it. I would have heard it in the womb, for sure. I would have heard it, first day of life. My mother, and my father too, but my mother was such a huge lover of the music that she would play the early days it would have been records. I was born in 72, and then it went on to cassettes. And I remember my earliest memory would be making a little bed for myself by the speaker. There was this big speaker on the floor of the record player, and I would make a little bed for myself with a pillow and a blanket and curl up right around this speaker, and there would be fiddle music on, and I'd fall asleep to that. I probably would have been 3 or 4.
That's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, and my dad played a little bit of fiddle. He played enough to start me when I was 9. A grand uncle of mine by name of Charlie McMaster, who lived in the States, he lived in Boston, he sent up a 3/4 size fiddle, so a little smaller than a full size fiddle, to Cape Breton Island for any of the McMaster relatives of his, any of the children, to have. And I was one of the kids who looked at it, and I thought, yeah, I'll take that fiddle. And that was the first time I ever picked it up. And so Mom started me dancing at age 5. And I asked them now, I said, why did you never think to start me at the fiddle? And she said, you know, there were no kids playing. There was no kids playing the fiddle. And she said, all the fiddles we had in the house were full size. So we just thought, you know, if you take to it, it'll be when you're older. But my dad had enough ability to coach me in the beginning. And even still to this day, his ear is so awesome. He's probably my biggest teacher.
From the earliest time then, was your music blended with and influenced by the dance, and then as you grew as a musician, your dance influenced by your progression on the instrument?
I'm sure they helped one another. It was certainly nothing I analyzed or thought about or connected in any way while I was playing or while I was dancing. I just did the steps Mom taught me, and I danced to the rhythm of the music. I'm sure the steps that I'm dancing, as I look at them now, made sense to the rhythms in the music, you know, but for me, and like for many people, when they first learn their audition facts, you know, they're just memorizing a lot of things. So I think I just memorized the steps, and then as years went on, you kind of make the connection when asked, and you realize that, oh, this is very complimentary. This is like a nicely sewn fabric. It's woven so well together.
Is it woven into those memories then of childhood, of your mother and father, as you continue to perform all these years later? Does it now, do you catch yourself in performance being taken back to those earliest memories of childhood?
No, not unless I would be provoked in some way, you know, if after this interview, maybe tonight I'll be on stage trying to connect back to that and trying to remember those times and what it was like. I think now, I mean, it's my life, and my life is all connected, and one thing leads to another, and there's a path that you're kind of guided along through, and so everything everything is fluid and, like I said, connected, and so it's all a part of who I am, and it's a part of my very fiber, you know. So it'll come out however it comes out when I'm on stage, but mentally, you know, what do I think of when I play now? It's usually pardon me for the scratchy throat. It's usually, you know, concentrating on being in tune, concentrating on my tone, concentrating on basically playing well, and then listening well to the music going on around me, to make everything sound good, to make it feel tight and together and musical as I can make it.
Natalie McMaster and Donna Leahy bring their Cape Breton and blended musical styles to Midland Center for the Arts this Saturday, the concert March the 9th in Midland, midlandcenter.org for all of the information. You and Donald have been married since 2002. How has the music that he brought in to the partnership and the music you brought into the partnership, how do you feel you've influenced each other or been able to now grow your respective sounds into the unique partnership that you have?
Well, it's interesting. When we first played music together, which was, back in 2002, we were just married and we were excited to, you know, we thought at some point in our lives we're going to play the fiddle together on stage somewhere. We're going to do something with this music that we share. And so we were at a house party somewhere, and somebody happened to record it, and they gave us a copy. And we listened back to it. We were excited, you know. And when we listened back to it, we were so disappointed because it sounded pretty bad. And it sounded bad because the tunes that we were playing together were tunes that we both would have learned years ago independently of one another. So he would have learned it his way, I would have learned it my way. And Donnell has a very distinct style that is so unique. I have my own very strong Cape Breton sound. So his music was covering up my Cape Breton groove, and my fiddling was covering up his unique style. And so we were just kind of stepping over each other, and it was loose. It wasn't, you know, just didn't sound good together. So over the years, we've learned to listen more when we're playing together, to try and fall into each other's pocket. And then we also find that we play better together when we don't play tunes that we've been playing all our life independently of one another. We play better when we play tunes that we've learned at the same time, like, you know, that so that we've learned the same version. We play better when we write our own music. And when we write our own music, we try to allow moments for each of our styles to come out. And it's just in the arrangement of that as well that really can allow our music to shine on its own. And then when we play together, like I said, we choose more harmonies and counterpoint melodies and stuff to embellish what each other does instead of cover it up.
And in recent years too, the move, as I read, into other styles with other roots type music from Scotland and Ireland and American bluegrass. Those curiosities from the travels, or any other particular spark that has led you and Donald to explore some of those musics and bring them more into your collective sound.
Oh yeah, we're always using traditional music. I mean, we have a variety, quite a variety. Janelle even learned, what is his name? He's an accordion player, I think, from France. His name escapes me now, but he, Richard Galliano. Richard Galliano. And Janelle just kind of discovered him the other day, and he's been learning tunes, from his repertoire that translate really uniquely on a fiddle, but also from our Scottish and Irish traditions. Lots of great old tunes. We'll never exhaust all the great old tunes that are there. And yeah, I mean, just even in our, the tunes that Danelle grew up with and the tunes that I grew up with, we're constantly reinventing that wheel. And, like I said, writing our own music.
You've said that it's, as we kind of sat down today, that it's been kind of a grueling tour, lots of weather delays and longer drives and closed highways and all sorts of things. As the travels bring you to Michigan for the concert on March the 9th, where will the travels take you from there, and what are some of maybe the next projects? Is something else in the recording vein, or other performances or collaborations that the two of you are looking to together, or separate projects? What is next?
Well, as far as telling you where we're playing after today, I couldn't tell you at all. That's really funny because when you asked me where I was today, I had to look at the phone to figure out where I was. But as far as upcoming projects and that sort of thing, we've got lots on the go. We're in a huge writing phase right now. Danelle is doing his own CD, I'm doing my own CD, and we're doing one together. So I don't know. Those obviously won't get released all at the same time, but we're working on all that right now. We're quite in full swing there. Very exciting stuff, and yeah, that'll take us. We have festivals and stuff like we always do through the summer, and then in Christmas time we always do a massive Christmas tour. Last year it was in Canada, this year it's in the States. We just recorded a beautiful Christmas special that's going to be aired in America in November, late November and through December on BYU TV. And yeah, all exciting stuff.
We will certainly look forward to all of that, and hope that some of the roads are a little bit clearer, or the snow a little bit less, to ease up on the strains of travel with all of the demands and traveling with family on the road. We look forward to you coming to Michigan this weekend, and certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, Natalie McMaster. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure today, and we do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.